Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio. And you're live.
Thank you, Nancy, and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. It's the 5th of October, 2019. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm known as the Success Alchemist, and you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and also on YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Facebook. And today, I'm going to be talking about energetic communication and the power of discernment. And I'm going to start by reading a few quotes to introduce the topic. The first one comes from Nikola Tesla. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And the second is from Albert Einstein. Everything is energy. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. And he also said, everything in life is vibration. So I'm going to be talking about how we communicate energetically and the link to our vibrational frequency. And, you know, lots of people talk about the verbal communication and about body language. And there is a statistic that's often quoted that says verbal communication is only 7% of our total communication, which is actually a very, very, very small percentage. But when you start to understand the importance of energetic communication, it really starts to make sense. And talking about vibrational frequency, what is that exactly? Well, our vibrational frequency is influenced by our thoughts and emotions. So when we're thinking happy thoughts and experiencing happy emotions, our vibrational frequency rises. And our thoughts and our emotions are actually very much interrelated. And it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation here, because is it the thought that comes first, or is it the emotion that comes first? And I don't have the definitive answer, other than to say, when you train your brain, and this is really about mindfulness, I've got to the stage now where on occasions I will feel a negative energy in my body before the thought that is negative actually manifests into my mind. Which means that I can actually turn off that thought by recognizing that negative emotion or negative feeling. And it's often in the pit of your stomach where you feel this. And so you can actually learn to control your thoughts and emotions to influence your vibrational frequency. And it's the vibrational frequency that is a reflection of your energy. So why is it that some people have a low vibrational frequency almost on a constant basis, whereas others have a much higher vibrational frequency? Well, in my view, it perhaps has two sources. And the first one is that experiences that we have, particularly in our early childhood years, can influence how we respond to things or react to things on an ongoing basis. So if a child, for example, has been brought up in an environment where she is not appreciated, she has got people around her who are in influential positions that are giving her messages that, you know, she's stupid, she's not good enough, she's not capable of being successful, all of these things. And unfortunately, it happens to many people, and this is the source of our limiting beliefs. And I've worked with many clients who have had those kinds of upbringings where there's been no development of a child's self-confidence, self-belief, and so on. And so what happens is that people who have developed those beliefs about themselves, they expect to get that kind of response to them ongoing. So if they're in a conversation with somebody and somebody says something to them, they will interpret it in many situations as being critical of them. And this is where we get this breakdown of communication. I'm going to be going on to communication a little bit later, but in that case, because she's expecting criticism or judgment or rejection, the vibrational energy that she puts out is basically a low frequency vibration. And the problem with that is it tends to open you up to that kind of behavior towards you. It's in effect attracting what you're expecting, the criticism, the rejection, and so on. And it transmits that overall lack of self-confidence. And so that kind of attracts more of those negative situations. Think about the opposite. Think about somebody who has a lot of self-confidence. We talk about charisma and influence, and it's that energetic projection of our energy that influences people, that gives them the impression of somebody who is charismatic. Often you'll hear people say, oh, so when so-and-so walks in, they light up the room. So what we're talking about here is how our vibrational frequency, our energy, can actually be extremely influential on the environment we're in, the people we're with, and so on. And one of the things we have to think about in our communication is, are we reflecting someone else's energy, or are we influencing other people to reflect our energy? And I've got a quote here from HeartMath's Science of the Heart. It says, the interaction between two human beings, such as the consultation between patient and clinician or a discussion between friends, is a very sophisticated dance that involves many subtle factors. Most people tend to think of communication solely in terms of overt signals expressed through facial movements, voice qualities, gestures, and body movements. However, evidence now supports the perspective that a subtle yet influential electromagnetic or energetic communication system operates just below our conscious level of awareness. Now, it's interesting that that quote talks about the system operating below our conscious level of awareness. But actually, we can train ourselves to raise that communication into our conscious awareness. This is through being in the present moment, and it really is about a heightened level of awareness of what is happening, what is being said, what the behavior is, and also just the energy that we're picking up from other people. And we can influence other people by being centered in our own vibration rather than allowing somebody else's energy and vibration to affect us. And I have another quote here. Negativity, it can only affect you if you're on the same frequency. Vibrate higher. And this, I don't know who wrote this quote, but this is again coming back to whether you're a mirror of somebody else or whether you influence them to mirror you and your vibration. And if you think about it, if you're with negative people a lot, we often call them energy vampires. And that's because somebody who is very negative, very complaining, very judgmental, they can suck your energy down to their level. And it's in those circumstances that you start to feel completely drained, and you can even get dragged into arguments and basically negative situations by allowing yourself to be influenced by the other person. So how do you cope with that kind of situation where you're in communication with somebody very negative? Well, the first thing is to approach it with neutrality. And regular listeners will know that I'm a huge proponent of the power of neutrality, because I see this as absolutely the foundation of mindfulness. And what that neutrality does is it helps you to be detached from whatever these emotions and energetic frequency are that the other person is broadcasting. It kind of gives you the time and space to really assess what's going on. And very often, you know, people can be triggered into reacting to somebody else's words or energy and so on. And the words and the energy really are totally integrated. And they're triggered by this person to react in a negative way or an argumentative way. One of the things that is in the book by Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements, is don't take things personally. And this neutrality allows us to kind of step back and say, I wonder why this person is behaving this way. And it's more often about them than it is about you, whether they have had a bad day, whether they're in the habit of negative thought. We can create these mental habits of negativity, of judgment, of self-righteousness, and so on. And that really influences how they're communicating, not only verbally, but also energetically. So there are people who are much more sensitive to energy than others. And these are the empaths and the energy sensitives. And just because somebody may be more empathic or energetically sensitive than you doesn't mean to say that you can't develop that. And, you know, in my old days, before my shift, I was always in my left brain. I was always very logical. And I hadn't even thought about developing that ability to be sensitive to what is going on around me in, from an energetic point of view. And later in the show, I'm going to be talking about discernment, which is very much a result of being empathic and energy sensitive. But we can develop this ability ourselves. perhaps once we're aware that it really is the source of our power. Our personal power comes from our ability to read situations accurately. It helps us to perceive a person's energy, to feel whether they're in energetic alignment with us. All of us have different energetic frequencies, vibrational frequencies, and that explains why you're drawn to some people and you're repelled by others. It's the essence of the word escapes me for a moment, it'll come to me. It really is the essence of getting those close relationships and rapport, that was the word I was looking for, and building rapport. And, you know, I've met people that I've literally connected with almost at a soul level immediately, and it may be that we're part of the same soul family, whereas others, there isn't that same connection. And when you observe people, and when you're very aware in the present moment of the people around you and the person that you're meeting, it's almost an instantaneous feeling of as to whether they're in energetic alignment with you or not. And that way you can choose consciously whether you're going to build a relationship with that person or whether you'll just pass them by and, in the words of Star Wars, move along these droids. They're not the droids we're looking for. So you're able to actually choose the people that you want to interact with. And one of the things about this that you can develop is active listening. And how many people in a conversation aren't really listening to the person they're talking to? Their thoughts are all over the place. They're often thinking more about what they want to say than really listening to the person that's talking. And so there isn't really that quality communication that is going on. And when I talk about listening as well, I mean actually using all your senses, including your intuition. And I'm going to be coming on to that a little later. One of the things about being very present is by listening actively, your response is going to be so much more appropriate than it would be if you were, you know, half a mind away thinking about tomorrow or yesterday, or more focused on what you want to say than what the other person wants to say. And what this leads to in terms of active listening is that you can then develop conscious communication. So you're very conscious of the language that you're using, of the emotions of your response. And again, by approaching this with neutrality, you can really assess the best way of responding to that other person. I've talked about this on previous show, the difference between reacting and responding. Reacting can often be a knee-jerk reaction, which makes the communication deteriorate, whereas responding is a much more conscious process where you're actively thinking and using the right language to communicate back to the person that you're conversing with. And there are many quotes in relation to manifestation that really relate to this whole subject. Because if you think about it, manifestation is actually communication with the quantum field. And here's another quote I like. Where thoughts go, energy goes. There is nothing else here besides energy. Thoughts create form. moderate your thoughts because they affect the entire energy field. When we are at a high level of vibration, we naturally attract high level experiences and vice versa. Experiences are a direct reflection of your thoughts. That again was an anonymous quote. Abraham Hicks says, as you think, you vibrate. As you vibrate, you attract. And again, we attract things that match our own vibrational frequency. And when you really focus on developing that mindfulness of being in control of your thoughts and emotions and not allowing your thoughts and emotions to run away with you, then you are actually going to attract the right people and the right circumstances, and you're not going to attract all those negative people that are actually liable to perhaps pull your vibrational frequency down. So it's a great benefit to really focus on your own thoughts and emotions and your vibrational frequency so that you create your reality of things being, you know, much more positive. I'm not going to say that everything will be 100% positive, but the percentage of positive to negative experiences, the positive will be a much, much higher percentage. So how can you consciously raise your vibrational frequency? I know it, even with the best of intentions, it can sometimes be hard to stay positive when you're exposed to the chaos and negativity in the world. And there's a lot of that about at the moment. There's a lot of anger out there. There's a lot of conflict out there. And the trick is not to let those things influence us negatively. Again, I always, when I talk about neutrality, it gives you the power to choose how you're going to respond to things. You can either go off into the negative response, or you can go off into the positive response, or look for a positive aspect to things. And my, I always say there's a gift in everything. If you look for it and don't get drawn just into a negative reaction. So, for example, you know, I've said on other shows that we can have an awareness of problems without feeding energy to that problem by getting angry, by letting it depress us or make us unhappy or think that, oh, the world's going to fall apart. The way I choose to look at it is that these things are being exposed. The problems are being exposed. The conflict is being exposed so that we can actually do something about it. If you're not aware of a problem, you can't find a solution to it. So by holding that awareness, it's difficult to describe really, but you can hold it in your mind without attaching an emotion to it. And that's the neutrality influence. So I know that's something that I'd rather not have, this whatever that problem might be, but I'm going to focus on what I want as a solution and focus my thoughts, which in themselves are energy, onto the solution and not the problem. And I've shared this on my previous shows where I've talked about how horses have taught me about energetic communication and how when I've been in pretty hairy situations with some horses, I've had to be aware of a potential problem. But if I had fed energy into that in terms of fear, then what I would have done was to make the situation worse, because I would have communicated that fear to an already fearful horse and the whole situation would have blown up out of all proportion. But instead, that awareness caused a response in me to focus on the outcome that I wanted. And everything takes some form of action. And in this case, my action to achieve that outcome was to actually calm my energy down and to visualize how I wanted the horse to respond. And it's incredible how effective that actually is in creating positive outcomes in what could have potentially been disastrous. So it really is a powerful thing to develop in yourself, that ability to always start from the neutral and then have an awareness of a problem, but immediately feed your energy into the solution and the outcome that you want. So neutrality is a really, really powerful tool to use. And what it basically means is every situation is neutral. It has no meaning until we assign our interpretation or perception, which can be positive, neutral, or negative. So what happens is that we become immune to circumstances and influences that can draw your energy down. So practicing neutrality is the real key to developing that ability to be in control of your power. Because so many people give their power away to other people by letting them influence them, let them draw down their vibrational frequency, let them influence them into doing something that they don't want to do. So it really can influence so many things, relationships, communication, you know, your work colleagues, the job that you're doing, and so on. The second thing is be with the right people. I've already said we can influence other people by our energy. We can be influenced by other people's energy if we allow them to do that. And who wants to spend a lot of time with really negative people who are already always complaining or they're always criticizing other people? They're very judgmental. It's just draining of your energy. So why would you want to do that? So again, you know, choose to be with people that are on a similar frequency to you, who are positive, who are happy, who are joyful, who communicate in a pleasant way. They're not judgmental. They're compassionate. They're empathic. And, you know, by interacting with people like that, you're not only going to feel much better about the situations, but you'll each raise each other's vibrational frequency to a higher level because of those positive experiences. The third way is avoid mainstream media. And we've heard so much about the fake news and how the media is really the mainstream media. They seem to have an agenda to create conflict, to create separation, to create the very things that they criticize other people of, you know, the racism, the xenophobia, the white supremacist. I'm sure we've all heard more than enough of that kind of broadcast on the mainstream media. So again, be selective about what you watch. Seek out uplifting movies or, you know, the kind of documentaries that will help you to increase your knowledge, raise your awareness, give you information that will help you in these somewhat challenging times. One thing I never do is watch horror movies, and even thrillers often now I will avoid, just because they can drag down your vibrational frequency. And when you're watching those things, you are actually reacting to them as if you're involved. This is why, you know, people get addicted to this, because it generates this fear response in them. And this is not good for your overall vibrational frequency. And as some of my guests have said on previous shows, it can even open you up to negative entities. So what do you gain from watching these kind of movies? In my view, absolutely nothing. And it can be very damaging to your level of consciousness. One of the things that really can raise you up is listening to music and, you know, listen to your favorite artist or sing and dance along to the music. I love listening to music and I'll sing along, and it can really boost that vibrational frequency. And, you know, even if you're doing a job that you don't particularly enjoy, you know, cleaning the bathroom or mucking out a horse or whatever, you know, why not listen to music while you're doing it, so that you can really keep that vibration high all through the process? One of the things I'm very passionate about is helping people train their brain or retrain their brain. And it comes back to what I was saying earlier. When you maintain an awareness of your thoughts and emotions, it's almost like you slow down the thought process. That neutrality of being the observer seems to be a very effective cure to what people call the monkey mind, where your thoughts are running off with you. And I've used the analogy of it's like a bolting horse. You know, if you sense that a horse is about to bolt, in other words, run off uncontrollably, if you check that horse, and by check, it's a equestrian term, it means when you bring them back in under your control, then that will stop the bolting. If you don't respond quickly to that, the chances are the horse will take over control and will be off, and you'll have a much lesser chance of actually bringing them back under your control. And it's the same with your thoughts. If you allow a negative thought to come into your head and you don't bring it under control by shifting your attention away from that negative thought, then the negative thought will generate more negative thoughts, and those thoughts will kind of run away with you. And I know it's, you know, it can happen. It's happened with me in the past, where you start to get worried about something, and then somehow this whole problem that you're worried about gets blown out of all proportion, and it gets to extreme levels. Whereas if you checked that thought as soon as it arose, then you would stop that from happening. And that's when you focus on positive outcomes. What is it, if this is worrying me, what is it that I want to be as the perfect outcome for me? And that will generate those intuitive, inspired ideas that will lead you down the path of the solution, rather than dragging you down the path of the problem. So what we're doing here is we're developing our ability to manage our energetic communication, because those thoughts and emotions are what are creating this energetic aura around us. And even if we're not saying anything, we're still communicating that energy to other people. And we're also developing the ability to tune into other people's energy as well. And that allows us to assess their agenda, their perhaps even their philosophy. You know, you can read so much from other people on an energetic level when you actually practice. And this is where I want to get into the subject of discernment, because discernment is the result of that ability to read energetic communication. And I want to discern between discernment and judgment, because judgment can be when you are assuming negative things about another person. It may be the result of you being judgmental of yourself. Very often we project onto others the things that we criticize ourselves for. We read into things assuming that other people are like us. And that can be an unconscious reaction to things. This is where we get triggered, because our subconscious mind has these beliefs about ourselves, which transfer very often onto other people. You know, if I'm judgmental, I assume another person is judgmental. And it's judgmental in a negative way that is actually nothing to do with the person that you're talking about, because none of us know what's going on in that person's life, for example, that may be causing them to behave in a certain way. So I see discernment as being different from judgment. And I actually have a definition of discernment here that I found on the internet earlier this morning. It's the spiritual gift of discernment is also known as the gift of discernment of spirits, or distinguishing between spirits. So in other words, the spiritual nature of the person rather than the kind of egoic personality. The Greek word for the gift of discernment is diakrisis. The word describes being able to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise a person, statement, situation, or environment. And it's this discernment that enables us to make good decisions. I have to say, I don't always listen to my, and this, just going back a minute, discernment is very linked to intuition as well. So when you discern something, you know, somebody else's energy or a situation, that will trigger the intuition that will say, I don't think this is a very good idea, or yes, go ahead and do this. We're picking up these signals, and this can be about opportunities, for example. You know, somebody offers you an opportunity to do something and you get this gut feeling that that's not the right thing for you to do. And how often do we actually talk ourselves out of what our intuition is telling us? I know I've done it, and very often it ends up being a really bad decision. I've learned to trust my intuition so much more than I used to do in my very logical days, because I found that it is so much more accurate than my logical mind. And I don't want to underestimate the value of logic. It's a, you know, logic and analysis is a great gift, but we really need to be led by our intuition, and then the logic and the analysis and the action that creates is following the path that the intuition is taking us down. So, I mean, I had an experience. Oh, it was after the Festival of Enlightenment. It was a brilliant success in terms of outcome for the people that attended. And it was also a great outcome in that it really put me through the mill in terms of facing up all my inner demons and my limiting beliefs and so on. But financially, it was an absolute disaster. And after the festival, we were literally penniless. As you know, the thing had been a great cost to us and so on. We ended up in Austin, Texas, after having left Colorado. And things are just not working out in terms of the business, you know, the coaching work, workshops and everything else just wasn't generating the revenue. So I thought, well, maybe I need to get a job. And so I applied for a job with it was a small consultancy that provided productivity coaching to organizations. And I was literally at the last stage of the interview process for this job. And it would have been a pretty good salary, I think around 60K a year, which would have been, you know, a huge benefit. But my intuition was saying, this is not the way to go. This is actually moving you away from your purpose. And so I actually contacted the CEO and said, I'm going to withdraw from this. And she was absolutely shocked and called me and said, I've never had anybody do this before. And I just explained that I just didn't feel it was the right thing for me at that time. And interestingly, shortly after that, that was when I found a job actually working on the Arabian Horse Ranch. And one of the sayings I have is the universe always takes you on the scenic route because you're given all these experiences for your own self-development, whether it be developing a new skill or whether it be putting you in a situation which provides you the opportunity for personal growth. And this particular job did satisfy an element of what I considered to be my purpose, which is the coaching work, because I wanted to spend more time with horses to eventually develop an equine facilitated coaching practice. That still has to manifest, but that was my that was why I was drawn to that kind of activity. But it was interesting because although to an outsider it would have seemed like a completely illogical change of direction in terms of what I'd been doing before, it actually turned out to be so obviously almost an intended, guided decision to go and work on this horse ranch because so many amazing things happen there. And really, because of the owners, it brought to the surface in me a realization that I was still needing to deal with a lot of judgment within myself. And the interesting thing about judgment is you often end up judging yourself for judging, which is a bit of a catch-22, really. And so it took a lot of work to kind of develop that neutrality even more to really undo that tendency that I still had to be judgmental about people. And there are all sorts of other things that I could tell stories about, which I'll perhaps save for another show that happened on that ranch, which are quite far out, shall we say. But this is where discernment and intuition really work together. So in that situation I just talked about with the job opportunity, I discerned that this really wasn't the path I wanted to follow and intuitively knew that it wasn't in alignment with my purpose. And what I said to myself was, okay, what is it that I really want to create here? Because at the time, we were literally out of money. We were living in a hotel suite. we had no vehicle. We'd had to sell that to keep us afloat. And so I set the intention, okay, we want a nice home. We want a vehicle. And we want an income, a source of income, a regular income. And I happened to find this opportunity on a website, and it turned out to be not far from where we were staying in Austin, so very much on our doorstep. And to cut a long story short, what happened by setting that intention and feeding attention on that manifestation desire, everything fell into place. It was quite miraculous. It's one example of successes in manifestation, because when we went to visit the ranch and meet the owners, they were building a brand new custom home for the caretakers, as we were called, where we could live on the ranch. They had a spare vehicle that they said we could use while we were working there. And they were also paying us a pretty decent income as well, given that our housing costs were all covered. And it was just amazing how everything fell into place beautifully in terms of manifesting exactly what I had set the intention of. And, you know, you could say, well, if I'd expressed that, people could have said, well, that's impossible. How are you going to get a car and a house without any money? And I actually put aside that judgment that you had to have money to enable you to manifest the things that you want. And I talk about this a lot in terms of manifestation. So often we focus on the money rather than the actual thing that we want to manifest. And I've got a funny story about that, actually. We were driving through Austin on our way back from the grocery store one day, and we came to an intersection underneath the state highway where a lot of homeless people tended to hang out. And on the side of the road at the light where we were stopped was a guy with a sign that said, "I need beer." And we kind of laughed at that, because most homeless people holding their signs are actually asking for money. But this guy was asking for beer. And we happened to have some beer that we bought from the grocery store. So we opened the window, handed the guy a beer, and also gave him a dollar bill as well. And I had one of these aha moments. Apart from thinking that it was really amusing what this guy was asking for, it was almost like a lesson from the universe in how manifestation works, because the money is the means to an end. It's not the end in itself. Whereas this guy was asking for the actual end product that he wanted. Now, just think about if he hadn't done that, what would have happened? He would have had to collect enough money to go across the road to the gas station to buy beer and then come back. Well, by asking directly for what he wanted, a beer, he got it immediately. And I always say, you know, if you do things the right way, the universe will give you a bonus. So he not only got his beer, he got his dollar bill as well. So what I want to say is, don't, if you want to manifest something, focus on what you want, not the money you think you need in order to get it, because in a way you're distracting from the actual process of manifestation. Let's put it that way. Money isn't always essential for achieving something physical or material. You can do it through other means. Okay, so going back to discernment is the result of being an energetic communicator. And when we talk about communication, it's not just about putting out communication. It's also receiving communication from other people. And the more that we develop that ability, the more we attract those, the right people, the right situations, and so on. And I want to just go back to something, a phrase that I really like, and it's from the movie Avatar. And the phrase is, "I see you." And it's not referring to, "Oh, yes, I can see you because you're in the same room," or "Yes, I see you in front of me." It is referring to something much deeper. It's, "I really see you." And when you do this, you are creating a much higher quality connection, because it's like the saying namaste, for example. I see the spirit in you, or whatever the interpretation is. It's looking beyond just the physical nature of a person. It's like a soul to soul connection. And I used to do this. In fact, I do it with animals as well. I mean, every living organism from small to great emanates and is affected by fields of energy. And when you say, "I see you," it's a process of really looking into their eyes in many cases. You know, there's a saying, the eyes are the window to the soul. And whenever I would approach a horse, I would, in a way, ask permission to enter their energy space. And again, this is really important in human interaction as well, because we tend to have different levels or different degrees of personal space. Some people, you know, like to keep you at, you know, arm's length distance or greater. Other people are quite happy for you to come closer into their personal space. But in this energetic communication, we can put out like energy signals and receive energy signals in terms of intuitively knowing how far we can come into a person's personal space, so that we don't make them feel pressured or uncomfortable with our closeness to them. And the other thing is, when you really look somebody in the eyes, you are really making that spiritual connection with them. I mean, a lot of people find that intimidating in some respects, you know, if you really look them in the eye. But it's all about what your intention is when you do that, because the way that you do it and the energy that you're putting out when you do that can be very different depending on your intention. So if you want to intimidate somebody, you will look at them in a very different way than if you want to build a friendship with them. And people may not be conscious of it, but they will interpret that based on how you're approaching them, how you're looking. You know, you can soften the eyes. You know, eyes are extremely expressive. They can express love. They can express fear. They can express surprise. And by consciously really looking in a way that is looking to appreciate the other person, it can add an incredible other dimension to the interaction. And it's also, you know, very often people interpret other people's behavior based on, or other people's intention based on, eye contact. If people don't want to look you in the eye, You know, there are different interpretations of that. One could be that they're just so self-conscious and shy and introverted that, you know, they'll look everywhere but at you. Other interpretations are that, you know, somebody isn't an honest person if they won't look you straight in the eye. And again, you can assess which of those is the right interpretation by tuning into the energy of that person. You can tell if a person is shy or introverted just by the way that they hold themselves. You know, perhaps they're not standing up straight. Their body language is one of trying to shrink into themselves rather than really owning their space. Whereas somebody who is dishonest will perhaps also be trying to be intimidating. So their body language will be very different. So when we can use these different aspects of nonverbal communication, it really helps us to discern between different people and avoid, in some cases, you know, let's say not negative situations. You know, if you're allowing somebody into your space who is that dishonest person, then they're likely to want to take advantage of you, and you end up not in a very good situation. Whereas if you're able to discern that from the start, then you'll eliminate that person from your circle, as it were. So really developing this ability to read people, using all our senses. So our eyes, our ears, even our nose, maybe our touch, but also our energetic body, our energetic capability of really picking up on that inner vibe of somebody rather than just the physical. It's wonderful. As I say, I've done a lot of this with horses. Just one more example. I had a horse at the Austin Arabian Horse Ranch who was very easily stressed. And when I arrived there, I was told that he'd kicked people and he would stall walk. And if you're not familiar with the term stall walking, it's really the way a horse to release stress will just pace around its stall constantly. And unfortunately, the person that was there before me would just tie this horse up for 7 or 8 hours a day, which to me was horrific because all that would do was increase the stress level of the horse, not reduce it. So my approach was to have that very calm energy so that the horse would not feel stressed. And that cured his stall walking. The only time he did it was if he had a thunderstorm. The rest of the time, he was calm. He was stress-free. And I actually did a short video, which I've been trying to find. I haven't managed to find it yet. I walked through the barn taking a video, and every horse in their own stall in the barn was lying down and resting. And to me, that was the greatest evidence of the level of relaxation in these horses. And this was because of the energy of peace and calm that I was emanating in that barn to make them feel comfortable. So we can influence so powerfully by the conscious use of our energy. It can really make a huge difference in our life and in the results that we get in our life. So I'm going to close by just saying, practice that energetic communication, practice reading other people, just see how you get on and if what you're reading actually is accurate or not. And it's actually pretty fun and it's very rewarding when you start to get better and better at it. You can go and find more articles about manifestation, energy, neutrality, all the things that I'm passionate about teaching on my website at thesuccessalchemist.net. And I've got some videos on YouTube on the subjects as well of fear and limiting beliefs and, you know, how to be successful, create the right mindset and so on. And if you go to my website, you can get a free download of the Dream Achiever Success Kit, which is very much a combination of the practical and the mindset approach to your goals. And I'd like to thank you for listening today. I hope you join me on next week's show. I have a great guest coming on. And I'd also like to thank Nancy for producing as ever. So thank you all and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.